Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Really? Where's my show then? You're kidding, right? Did somebody just set up their show right now? Really? Oh, come on, fucker. Sitting here like an ass.
Hello Freedomizers, I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wild Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday. We'll have Amanda joining us here in just a second. And if you out there in Radio Land would like to discuss anything here, the number is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation today. So in just a few minutes, we will have Dr. Beth join us here. She has a stress epidemic book that we would like to discuss. And let's go ahead and bring Amanda in. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you. I am really looking forward to our guest. Can't wait to hear from her. I didn't realize that she had written a book. That'll be fun to hear about.
Yeah, so why not discuss some health and wellness? So I'm, you know, that I'm good with that, and you're definitely good with that.
Oh, yeah. This is
so
my life.
So it'll be like us talking with our peers.
There you go. I like that. Exactly.
Yeah. So we didn't get to talk last week.
Yeah, I missed it quite a bit, actually. I feel like I've been MIA, even though I had a legitimate reason. It was back to school night, and this is full week of school.
So, Dr. Beth, if you're out there in Radio Land and you're ready to join us, just press the lucky number 1 on your phone, and I'll know that you're ready to join us here. I'll give that a minute. Okay, so anyway, yeah, last week it's like not much happened because it was like Thursday we had a co-host. Wendy decided to leave Freedomizer, and then Leslie called out, and then you were not available for the Wednesday, so it was like I had a few days to myself.
And I'm sure you are thankful for a little rest of your voice over the weekend.
Yeah, you could say that. But we don't have a rest right now, though, because Dr. Beth is ready.
Excellent.
Yeah, so from one of her books, the Stress Epidemic book, and the website is Recipes for Life with DrBeth.com. We're going to go ahead and bring in Dr. Beth. Welcome in.
Good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Beth. This is Proof and Amanda.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
I
assume you heard me.
Yes.
All right, so
welcome
to the Freedomizer family. Are you still having problems hearing me?
No, I can hear you.
Okay. All right, well, welcome to the Freedomizer family.
Thank you.
So I told Amanda when I got off my day job about you, and she was looking so forward. She enjoyed looking through the website, and just like I predicted, you and her will have a lot of stuff to talk about here. But you showed me your Recipes for Life website.
Yep.
So, Amanda, do you have any special direction you want to go? Or, Dr. Beth, do you want to give us an overview about what you do? I'm here, but I know this is in Amanda's wheelhouse, and of course, you're the subject matter expert. So I'm willing to be led around here.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what brings our guest here tonight, and I'd love to know more about the book and just everything about you.
Okay. Well, somehow Dave and I are Facebook friends. I'm not sure how that happened, but I saw that he was, looking for guests or something, and so I simply responded. So my background is that I have a PhD in nutrition. I've been practicing for 22 years now. Before that, my undergraduate degree was in scientific and technical writing. So I've always had the passion to write about health and the truth, especially natural health care, utilizing whole foods, supplements, things like that. So I started writing books probably 1988. And so since then, I've written probably about 100 books in the field of natural health care. And some of my books are also Christian books.
Wow, that's fascinating. So I'm looking at your website right now, and I had no idea you have written so many books. This will be amazing to hear from you tonight.
So I picked the stress epidemic to talk about tonight. It is one of my newer books. And I'm, with COVID and everything that's going on in our nation, people that are listening to the news, stress is just very high. People don't understand what's going on. There's just simply a lot of anxiety. And, the rate of prescriptions for antidepressants and anti-anxiety have gone through the roof. They've absolutely skyrocketed in the last few years. And then, of course, with that, you get insomnia, you get depression, you get, all sorts of things that go with it. If someone does not take care of, the way that they handle stress, it's kind of hard to get away from stress, as you know. So what can happen is that can lead to all kinds of negative effects on the body. It can affect our digestion. It can affect our sleep. It can affect our mood, things like depression. It can affect any type of pre-existing condition that may have previously been under control, things like joint pain, acid reflux, anything like that, hair loss. And so it all happens because of, how stress affects us, and we can get into that later. There's a term for all of these symptoms. There's probably over 50 different symptoms associated with adrenal fatigue, and it's the all this stress just simply causes the adrenal glands to tire out and fatigue and not function to their full ability. And so it's something that I've dealt with for most of my life, and so I've had a tremendous interest in this subject. It's not something that's going to be addressed if you go through the mainstream medical route. It comes down to how your adrenal glands are producing cortisol and then how your body is responding to that cortisol.
And that makes
so
much sense. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Anyway, you're on the Proof Negative show, and I do go by Proof here. So I did want to ask here, what's the best way to do a adrenal fatigue detox?
Well, first, when I'm working with a patient, I need to find out where they're at, because there's various stages of adrenal fatigue. You might be in the early stages, which is, mild. You might be in the more moderate stages, getting more severe. or you might actually be in the burnout stage. And another word for burnout, you know, you can have crashes that they might last a day, they might last a week, or you could literally go into PTSD, which is an ongoing problem that, you know, is much more severe. So the treatment is going to depend upon where that person is at and how much cortisol their body's producing. There's a natural flow that the body does with the adrenal glands. In the morning, cortisol is supposed to be at its highest. That's what wakes us up in the morning. And then through the, you know, into the afternoon, it's still fairly high but starting to diminish. And then into the evening hours, it's supposed to be very low. And while we sleep, it's supposed to decline. But then around 3, 4 in the morning, it slowly starts to creep up. And again, getting to then that high point of whatever is our natural wake-up time. So in someone with mild to moderate adrenal fatigue, you see a flip. You see very low levels in the morning. That person probably tossed and turned all night because they may have had some cortisol spikes in the middle of the night, waking them up, keeping them up, so they don't get a good night's sleep. And then in the morning, they're exhausted because their cortisol levels have dropped, and they're supposed to be high. And then in the evening, they might have high cortisol levels, giving them a burst of energy when they're supposed to be low, getting them ready for bed. You know, cortisol, cortisol is all about the fight or flight response. And so if we have any type of a stressor, you know, whatever it might be, you suddenly realize that you left the dog open, the door open, and the dog escaped, you know, your cortisol is going to shoot up, and it's going to give you energy to go find that dog. Or in prehistoric days, they always give you an example of, you know, running from a tiger or a bear or something like that. But today our stressors could be, you know, you almost get in a car accident. You know, it could be a verbal argument with someone. It could be a verbal abuse or a physical abuse. It could be chronic pain. It could be listening to the news. It, you know, there's so many stressors that, you know, could cause our cortisol to shoot up when it's not supposed to. So essentially we become stress sensitive in someone with adrenal fatigue where their body overreacts to something that shouldn't be overly stressful, but the body just becomes unable to regulate a normal stress response. And so the main symptom that you're going to see in people is they're just tired all the time. They can't sleep. You know, they can't get a good night's sleep. Their adrenal glands are just not producing cortisol at the proper times. And so the primary, you know, symptom that you're going to see in people with adrenal fatigue is just they're just tired. They're just exhausted. And then it gets even worse when they're in burnout. You know, those people might literally be bedridden. Like I said, it might be a day. They might be there in a few days or weeks or months until they get, you know, some type of treatment.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Oh, yes. Well, I was going to ask also if you have noticed, besides the constant fatigue, when they have hit that adrenal exhaustion, have you noticed that it affects the other hormones as well, like, say, estrogen and testosterone?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's going to be a tremendous drop in sex drive. A woman in menopause who has adrenal fatigue, that's just a horrible, horrible nightmare of a combination, because it absolutely affects all of those other hormones. It also affects your thyroid. Your thyroid's going to slow down. You're going to start gaining weight, especially around the waist. You know, it affects the whole body, head to toe.
I'll let you get more involved here, Amanda. I know this is stuff you like talking about, so I want to make sure that you're asking better questions than I can.
Oh, well, just playing off of what you had asked with the adrenals, and so going forward with that as well, you had mentioned that you have a tendency to see a disruption in typical hormones, weight gain usually around the waist, and the exhaustion. And so once you've seen those symptoms crop up, what's your best advice for someone? Do they need to go and get an adrenal spit test, or can they, what type of test, or do we just address it with no testing?
Well, I do like to, I do offer a saliva test for my patients to assess the adrenals. It measures estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, and then it tests cortisol 4 times a day. So it tests that morning range, that noon range, like a before supper range, and then a bedtime range. Because like I said, there is a normal rhythm that it's supposed to be in. And so someone who is, say, in burnout, they're going to be flatline. They're not going to have hardly any cortisol being produced at all. That's why they're pretty much bedridden. Someone in, the early stages, they just might have some minor, their cortisol might be too low in the morning, but the rest of the day it might be okay. So it just depends upon where they're at. So there's a lot of supplements that are important. With stress, your zinc is very rapidly depleted. And so that's going to cause, immune dysfunction. That's going to cause copper imbalances. It's going to cause a whole myriad of other symptoms, such as the hair falling out. That's another one that goes with the zinc. It also depletes magnesium. So you're going to feel stressed. You're going to have tension. You're going to have muscle tension. You might become constipated because of the lack of magnesium in the body. You might have restless leg syndrome because of the lack of magnesium. And so there's a whole list of symptoms that, goes with each one of these nutrient deficiencies. Of course, stress also depletes all your B vitamins. So that can cause, neuropathy. It can cause more digestive disruption. So as you can see, there's, I could read off a list of common symptoms, and it's all related to, how the body's responding to the cortisol. And so, of course, I'm going to recommend zinc, magnesium, B-complex. I might recommend melatonin. I might recommend digestive enzymes because when you have high cortisol.
I was going to ask, what about selenium? What about selenium?
If there's a clear thyroid dysfunction, I definitely would probably recommend selenium. Selenium is also really good for the immune system. So I really tailor my recommendations to the symptoms of the individual person.
Okay.
In general, selenium is excellent for cancer. It's excellent for the immune system and the thyroid. So if those things are affected, I'm definitely going to be recommending it. Or say their thyroid antibodies are high. Selenium is one of the few things that lowers elevated thyroid antibodies. So like I said, I really have to tailor my recommendations to the person. So I was going to mention digestive enzymes. If you have high cortisol levels, your digestive enzymes literally just shut down. They're just not being produced and released into the gut. So you might be hungry. You might feel like eating, especially the main things people crave with adrenal fatigue is salty things because sodium is depleted as well as potassium, and also sugar, simple carbohydrates, because you're looking for that energy, and the body has learned over the years that if you eat anything with sugar, it's going to give you a burst of energy, which is, of course, not a good idea to eat. That's not helping your body at all. You know, there might be someone who is in a severe adrenal fatigue into exhaustion. I might recommend a hormone balancer called pregnenolone, which will help boost estrogen, progesterone. Some people I might recommend 7-keto-DHEA if their DHEA is really low, and that I see that often with people with long-term stress. You see long-term stress in maybe military people, hospital workers, especially emergency room workers, first responders, you know, there's lots of high-stress jobs out there. And so you'll typically see very low DHEA levels in those types of people and definitely messed up cortisol levels.
And probably the sleep deprivation that comes with those types of jobs also probably helps to deplete those, right? So what would you recommend? Say you've met with the patient, you see all the signs, you realize that they're in that serious state. What would you recommend besides the supplements as far as nutrition, as if throughout the diet? What would you recommend in that case?
Well, if their cortisol is high at night, which is preventing them from going to sleep, or if they wake up a lot at night, you know, so they feel like they've got cortisol spikes in the middle of the night, I would recommend things to lower the cortisol. And some of the things with the most studies would be something like phosphatidylserine. That's excellent to lower cortisol levels. Also, things like valerian is good too, but lavender. You could do that in a like an essential oil and use that on topically. Something like lemon balm is excellent to lower cortisol levels. L-theanine. Those are probably my favorites. Now, if that's accompanied by racing thoughts, someone who can't seem to shut their mind off at night, GABA is really good for that. So again, it's still tailored. An older person, say someone 50 and up, maybe as low as 40, I would recommend melatonin. If a person is heavily on the computer, then they also, from the blue light, they also might be melatonin deficient, even though they're young. So that's something that can help some people. It doesn't, you know, just depending upon the person. So sometimes it's a little bit of trial and error. Something like 5-HTP will raise serotonin. Anytime you have high cortisol, that will suppress your serotonin levels. And so if you're a person who has high cortisol before you go to bed, that means you've got high cortisol, low serotonin. That combination literally means that person will not be able to go into REM sleep. And without that REM sleep, you know, it just further pushes the exhaustion and pushes that person further into adrenal fatigue and burnout.
And have you noticed if there's a difference between, say, like having them eat something rich in some nutrients before bed or practicing, say, like intermittent fasting, if that actually helps the body uptake the supplements that they're doing or helps regulate better as far as foods and dietary practices that way?
Well, you know, I am a fan of intermittent fasting. I've done it for, I think, half my life. But eating, this is going to sound strange, but eating some carbohydrates or something like a banana that contains tryptophan can actually help some people. Like, you know, if they take that, like, you know, within an hour before they go to bed. Years ago, my husband and I had a television show called Recipes for Life. It was like a healthy cooking show. And we did a sleep show, and I found that roasted garbanzo beans had nutrients in it that helped, and the complex carbohydrates, which help keep your blood sugar more stable through the night, you know, can be real helpful for certain people's sleep. So typically I recommend an organic whole food diet as much as possible, especially when it comes to like the Dirty Dozen, you know, things like, you know, tomatoes and greens. You know, you want to reduce your toxic load as much as possible. So, you know, a simple diet because of all the digestive issues people seem to have with adrenal fatigue is important. You know, some people are going to be really bothered by spices. So I do recommend digestive enzymes, you know, before meals. Also, something like licorice. Licorice is excellent. Licorice root is excellent not only for digestion, but it also supports the adrenal glands. And so that can have a two-pronged approach. And, of course, there's lots of adaptogens like ashwagandha, rhodiola, holy basil. You know, there's quite a few. Ginseng is another one that's good in the morning because it helps with energy. So there's a lot of adaptogens that support the adrenals. Maca is a really good one for women with hormonal issues. So the ones I would recommend, again, are going to be, are going to variate according to what that person's symptoms are.
Right. And you'd probably have them take it in capsule form or like, say, valerian, you could probably do that in tincture form. Do you ever recommend them doing it just in a tea, like a decoction or an infusion?
Yeah, valerian tea is very helpful for sleep. I think it may have to do with the absorption. Being in that liquid form, it works really fast. So it's just going to depend upon, you know, like you said, what it is. Some people just prefer capsules because they're more convenient. You know, I do like essential oils. They tend to work really fast. So, yeah, it just depends.
Yeah, fascinating. So, and your experience also, have you noticed that there's a connection within, I should say, someone is more prone to adrenal fatigue because of, say, a disconnect in the HPA axis? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about with the hypothalamus.
Yeah.
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 So is that like a...
Yeah, it's commonly seen in people with adrenal fatigue. I do think that there can be a genetic component.
Yeah.
You know, if one of your parents was kind of high strung and didn't handle stress well, maybe they had insomnia, maybe they had high blood pressure, you know, so you're going to, that's the offspring, it's a very good chance that might be something that they're prone to, especially if they maybe have a stressful job or they're in some type of situation that opens those doors. Like I said, you know, some of those career choices, maybe someone who is in an abusive relationship, someone who is in chronic pain, you know, these are tremendous stressors. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, illnesses that can, you know, further cause stress in the body. So there's a tremendous amount of variables. There was, I did come across one statistic, I'm not sure if I mentioned this already, but they say that over 90% of the population at some point in their life will have some level of adrenal fatigue. You know, maybe it's a woman who goes into menopause. Maybe it's the birth of a new child. You know, it could be, you know, it could be a move where you have to sell your house and, you know, move someplace to an unfamiliar area or something. You know, divorce. There's another huge stress. So there's, you know, like I really do think that just about everyone at some point in their life, and, you know, maybe it's just mild, and maybe they just have chronic headaches and some digestive issues. Maybe it doesn't get real serious for them. And then, you know, the stress gets better, and then they're able to, you know, to heal. But, you know, that's just not the case for everyone.
Would you say it takes about 6 months of pretty regular, you know, just supporting your adrenals through all those things? Would you say it's about a 6 month window in a typical person?
I've had people take over a year who were, you know, in burnout. But yeah, 6 months, three is just not really enough. I mean, they might be on their way, but I would say at least 6 months. And some people are going to relapse. You know, they're going to get a lot better. And then maybe a few years down the road, if they stop supporting their adrenals, if they start eating a lot of sugar, if they start not watching their schedule and, you know, having good stress management, you know, it can definitely get worse again.
Right. So outside of the supplements and the dietary support through food and other practices such as that, are there any other lifestyle changes you would recommend, like meditation or exercise? Or, I mean, do they want to do high-intensity exercise, or would they want to keep it more of a low-intensity?
Yeah, it has to be, you know, high-intensity exercise is going to release more cortisol, so that's going to defeat the purpose. So it definitely has to be, a low to moderate, even just walking, deep breathing. If you learn how to practice deep breathing, you know, just taking super deep, slow breaths and blowing it out slow, that is proven to lower cortisol, lower high blood pressure. In adrenal fatigue, in some people you'll see high blood pressure, and other people you'll see low blood pressure. So, that, again, that's another variable. So, yes, prayer and meditation, absolutely. And, you know, when someone has, you know, if someone goes into something like panic attacks, I always try to help them find out, you know, what the trigger was. And finding the root, you know, because we can't always manage our triggers either. But avoiding them if possible is fine. But understanding the root of, you know, why this is a trigger is very important. And it usually goes back to, not usually, often things can go back to a childhood trauma that just really never was addressed or someone was never fully healed from. You know, I see that a lot. You know, with my counseling, I try to do, you know, body, soul, spirit, you know, where I address, you know, the whole person in all aspects. So, yes, exercise, taking time for yourself, you know, trying to find time to do things that you enjoy, whatever that might be. You know, if it's walking the dog or doing puzzles or spending time with your friends, you know, and having human contact is so important for some people. So, you know, it's definitely a whole body approach to healing.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You had touched on quite a bit of the big shocks that we might have, the large stressors, and even just those little stressors that add up every day, things that we just can't get away from stress. Like you had pointed out, that the only thing you can do is find ways to manage your stress. Would you agree?
Yeah, and, you know, like what I like to do, like at the end of my day, typically before I start cooking, meal for my family is I like to do the treadmill or get outside and do some walking, maybe go to the garden, you know, just to de-stress from the day. So, of course, I live in northern Minnesota, so I can't always get outside, but that's why I have a treadmill. But, you know, I like to put on worship music or some type of a teaching, from someone who I enjoy listening to. Something that's going to calm me down and relax me, rather than, doing something like watching the news, which is going to just stress people out. So
that'll stop your digestion pretty quickly, watching the news.
Right. Cooking usually relaxes me. So, I do enjoy that for the most part. Yeah. So
that's awesome. Go ahead. Sorry.
So you just have to kind of find the things that you like to do. If cooking stresses you out, then that wouldn't be a good solution for that person. But of course, it's very hard to get whole nutritious foods that are unprocessed if you're not cooking. So, that is one of my challenges, is to work with someone that absolutely hates to spend time in the kitchen. Because unless you're living close to a Whole Foods or, someplace where you can, get real food on a regular basis, when I lived in California, it was much easier because there was all kinds of healthy restaurants around. And then I moved to Minnesota, and it was the opposite. There was no healthy restaurants. So.
Right. And that does cause a big challenge for people. I've heard of there actually being in an area where there is no accessibility at all to fresh foods, and I can't imagine what that's like to just have convenience store foods to choose from. You have to be very creative because – trying to stay away from processed foods, and oh my goodness.
Well, we have a very, very large garden, and so I've learned how to can and freeze things and, look up recipes on what to do with all this zucchini and,
And you can do everything with zucchini, right?
Well, apparently.
I have made apple pie with zucchini and no apples.
Yes,
and no one
I
knew.
Have too. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I don't think my husband would have known if I didn't tell him it was not apple.
Yeah. Yes, I did that for a neighborhood potluck. And one person who proclaims his hatred for zucchini ate two slices of my apple pie. I didn't realize how much he hated zucchini. I might have warned him before just to be kind, but no, he loved it. And so as it was coming out, what I'd made the pie from, he was appalled. But also, I think he might have decided he actually liked zucchini now.
Well, yeah, it just depends upon
what you do. I think
zucchini
bread's one of my favorite breads, actually.
Yeah?
Oh,
I'm
going
to make some tomorrow.
It makes it so soft, and you would never know that that's your secret ingredient.
No, I make chocolate zucchini cake, lemon zucchini cake, just all kinds of things. It's fun.
Sounds delicious. Yeah, so we talked a lot about stress and adrenals. We we touched on hormones. I was curious, what do you think right now, currently, besides the stress and the adrenal fatigue, what do you think currently is a big focus for people? What are you seeing mostly come through your practice?
I'm gonna step in here rudely and say that if myocarditis isn't the fastest rising one, I don't know.
Right.
Well, it's true, except that person's probably not going to come to a nutritionist, sadly.
No.
You know, it's a very, very serious condition. I'm sure that, you know, I mean, I would put them on an anti-inflammatory diet and some supplements, but, you know, the heart, you know, really becomes damaged. And that's a difficult muscle, you know, to treat when it becomes damaged. I guess I see a lot of joint pain. I'm seeing a tremendous increase in vertigo, which is really interesting. A significant amount of insomnia. I do, you know, weight loss and diabetes have always been, you know, pretty significant. That probably has not changed. You know, people would complain about, you know, the COVID 15 or 20 or whatever it was that they gained, but they really didn't seem too interested in losing it. They just kind of accepted the fact that, but then some people lose weight when they have COVID, so, and they're able to keep it off. So, you know, there's definitely a variety, but it kind of seems like stress is involved at some point in, you know, in almost everyone. You know, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think 2020 just increased everyone's fear factor to the point where stress was paramount.
Absolutely. And so everyone started eating junk food and sugar and, you know, various processed foods. And I'm sure that was a huge factor. But with all the cortisol, you know, it's literally your body just, you wouldn't even have to have a tremendous diet change. And, you know, a lot of people just started gaining weight because of all that cortisol. So, fear, stress, and anxiety to me are pretty much all the same. It's just different words. It's all the same cortisol response.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That's what I feel like I've seen the most in people around me as well, just their fear factor. I call it the fear factor for them because now that they're in the cycle of being scared of the next thing that's coming, or they're watching the news. You had mentioned, oh, the worst thing you can do is watch the news. And some of these
exactly.
people do really hang on every word that comes across the TV screen or whatever, if it's a website, and it keeps them in that constant state of anxiety. It's just the fight or flight mode, like you had mentioned, and they're just constantly keeping themselves at that high level. And no wonder I know that there are some people that are saying they're suffering from quote unquote long COVID, and what it looks to me is adrenal fatigue. I don't know what you think about that, but that's exactly what it
yeah.
looks like to me.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, it's a sad thing today because it seems like people don't recognize the truth anymore. They just believe just about anything that they hear. And especially if it comes from a so-called authority person. And that's really sad because, you know, all I see is people's health suffering. Because they're making poor choices based on getting poor information.
But do you honestly think, though, that a lot of people are watching fake news? I don't think so. I think more people are honestly upset at being told they have to wear scams than people that are mad that other people aren't wearing them, as an example. I think the time for Dr. Fraudy and CNN and all them, I think their time has passed. I don't think people are hanging on their every words anymore.
Well, I would certainly hope so. That's really all we can do is hope and pray for, you know, the truth to really start coming out. It depends upon where you get your information, because, you know, if you go to Rumble and some of these other places, you can find the truth. But then a lot of people have never heard of Rumble. So the older, you know, most of my clients and patients are older. And, you know, a lot of them aren't familiar with how to use the computer. They might be able to get their email. But as far as, you know, really getting in and searching, that's not something that they're really – I mean, I'm certainly not everyone, but and so that just television is just where they get their information.
Well, I'm just thinking not in terms of just COVIDs, but if you look at Moneypox has not taken off like they really thought. They thought everybody would be glued to their smell-o-visions with Moneypox, just like they were with COVIDs. People aren't buying Moneypox.
Yeah, I would. Well, they shouldn't. I think they overdid it with the COVID. You know, they said that, you know, I mean, there was a tremendous amount of death, but to me, the death wasn't so much just from COVID. It was the poor treatment. It was it was other things besides COVID itself.
Well, like I've said a bunch of times on my show here, Dr. Beth, the average life expectancy for a human in the United States is 74.3. But the average death age of somebody with COVID was 76.8. So they actually lived longer if they had COVID.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think that people are not afraid of this new thing, the monkeypox, because maybe they overdid it and people are starting to wise up. I would at least hope.
Well, and also it's been shown that almost every single case has to do with somebody in the homosexual population.
Right. That's what I've read. I can't understand why they claimed it. Who declared it some type of an emergency, which I think is ridiculous. Because it's just not going to affect the general population to the extent of something like an airborne virus.
Well, because they think we're stupid and they thought they could just throw anything at us.
I agree. It's so important for people to do research. And whether that, you know, they have to find people that have done the research if they don't want to do the research themselves. Because the Bible says the truth will set us free. So how
do you remember a couple of years ago, though, Dr. Beth, that the New York Slimes and CNN and all that said that the biggest threat with COVID is people doing their own research and that nobody should do their own research and just trust them? Do you remember that?
I have a lot to say about that, but I'm going to hold my tongue.
Yeah, like they told Dr. Robert Malone that he knows nothing about mRNA. Like, he's only the guy that invented it. Of course he won't know anything. He's the one that taught everybody how to research and how to do mRNA, so of course he doesn't know a thing about it.
Well, they're either going to discredit you or get rid of you, so.
Yeah, but the sad thing about this, though, Dr. Beth, is that you still have Trump out there even today talking about how great it was that he allowed those, like he's taking credit for these gene therapies to come out fast. While everybody else is every rat is getting off the sinking ship, Trump is up there owning it still.
I've not been following him lately. I wouldn't know what he's been saying.
Well, I don't want to go into detail with it, but he's still taking credit for these things coming out, while even Dr. Fraudy is quitting because he's afraid of being officially labeled by the world as Dr. Mengele 2.0.
Yeah, well, I'll be glad to see him go.
Yeah, you have Dr. Birx out there talking about how she knew that these gene therapies would not work as advertised. You get that CNN. Let me think of her name. Dr. Liana Wen, who spent 2 years on CNN telling us about how great and how important it is for everybody to wear scams on their face. And just yesterday, she was discussing how her toddler is now behind in development because his speech is messed up because he wore scams and everybody else was wearing them. So kids need to pick up on facial expressions along with lip reading and all that. And when they didn't have that available to them, it stunted their growth.
Well, it's no surprise. You know, I mean, those of us that knew better, you know, that weren't being told what to say, and it amazes me, you know, that so many people believe the things that they were told when, I mean, yes, I do have an anatomy physiology background. I'm not, I don't have the credentials that they do, but I knew right away that this is wrong. This is the opposite is true. You know, a mask is going to decrease your oxygen level, which drops your pH, which increases your risk for infection. I mean, it's just common sense. It's anatomy physiology basic. And they're up there saying lies, telling people to do the exact opposite of what they should be doing. You know,
no, they were telling
promoting...
you wearing a wet mask all day is actually healthy for you.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Well, you know, the truth is going to come out. You know, it just will. I don't know when. I don't know how long it's going to take. And I don't know who's going to be, what's going to happen to these people. I mean, to me, this is crimes against humanity, but that's just my personal opinion. So I think things should happen to these people. I don't know if it ever will.
I think the tide finally started turning in our favor when Pfizer tried to get that 75 years before anybody could open up their records.
Yeah, that was silly on their part. Again, I think they think that we're so stupid that we're just going to go along with whatever they say. You know, he who has the most money wins is not what we're going to, you know. But I think that's their game. They're the big farm, and they're going to run the show, and that's just not going to happen.
Well, we've threatened the 1%'s lives, I guess, because we own land and they want our land, and we don't listen to the 1% like we used to, and they're jealous. They're hating on us.
I agree.
And I
and
don't know
don't
who they're going to get to eat the bugs.
That's a good one. Yeah, I keep telling people, read your labels. Make sure there's no bugs in there.
Yeah, but
protein.
Eating a bug exoskeleton, I mean, an ant might be okay, but an ant would be like a piece of rice. You might need like 2,000 ants in order to be full. But a cricket or a grasshopper or a cockroach, they have exoskeletons, and that is completely not healthy. And actually, if you eat enough of it, it could become toxic.
No, not to mention disgusting.
Oh, but they think
Amen.
We're disgusting, well, so that's why they're pushing it.
Well, I know they're trying to push the whole, you know, on plant, you know, fake meat. I've never liked fake foods. I just can't, I mean, I couldn't stand margarine when I was a kid. It was fake. You know, I've always wanted the real thing. Maybe it's
That's
just
funny.
Just,
I,
know,
see,
I
didn't grow up as lucky. My parents bought stuff based on what was on sale, not if it was quality.
Well, I grew up with margarine because of a family history of heart disease, and
yeah.
That was what they told people back in the 60s, is you can't have butter, you can't have eggs, you have to eat all this fake stuff. And, you know, after having real butter, I thought, why in the heck are we eating this? You know? So
I remember what we grew up on, and I'm really disappointed in it, was we grew up with those Blue Bonnet margarine tubs, and then that doubled as a Tupperware container.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Like when you go to your grandma's house and you're looking for something and there's five things of country crock and you don't know which one is, you know, which one is the leftovers and which one is the
yes.
But you know, my health journey began when I was probably in high school because of health problems. And the medical route didn't work for me. My mother would take me to these specialists. I would have high hopes that I was going to be fixed, and they never did anything for me but give me more drugs. And then the drugs had side effects. And I never got well. So in college, I began to... So in high school, I changed my diet. I actually became a vegetarian. But the reality was I had such poor digestion that I couldn't digest meat. I couldn't sleep because of the side effects of the drugs. And so I was cranky and tired and didn't do that good in school, and, you know, life was kind of hard for me. But in college, I began to search out natural health and supplements and, you know, nutrients, more of a nutritional approach. And certain symptoms that I had began to improve, and I became more and more frustrated with the medical route. So, and then I became interested in helping other people through natural health, and that's why I became a writer. Writing was kind of a gift for me, and I really love to write. And so that's why I started writing, you know, the books that I did. And a lot of them are just small 40, 50-page pamphlets, you know, whether it's on MACA or MSM or pH balancing or CoQ10, you know, whatever it is. You know, they're not huge books. They're just, you know, like I said, 40. A lot of them are like 40 to 50 pages. And then I do of course have much larger books also. But it's just been my passion to help people get well naturally without drugs. I certainly have to work with doctors because some people just choose to use both, and that's fine. So I guess I was disillusioned with the medical industry quite young, like I said, probably high school or maybe even younger. And that was just my own journey. So I had to find my own way through research. So I'm just not going to go to a doctor and just believe everything that they tell me, because I knew that they were lying to me when I was young.
Hey, I'll tell you, my worst doctor experience ever was I went in for a doctor's note for work, and the guy sees me, he looks at my chart and sees what age I am, and he says, well, now that you're 40, while you're here, you need to pick out a cholesterol medication drug, because now you're over 40, and I recommend everybody when they're 40 years old pick a cholesterol drug.
It's ridiculous.
No chart, no test, nothing. Just, hey, you're 40, pick this. And they just expect me to be like a sloth and go, me take this one. That's what they thought I would do.
Yep. And then you could end up with dementia. You could end up with, symptoms that look like multiple sclerosis, with a CoQ10 deficiency, and they don't even tell people to take CoQ10 if you're on a statin. It's ridiculous. Very few physicians tell their patients, oh, by the way, this is going to cause a CoQ10 deficiency. You need to supplement. They just, I don't know. It's sad.
That's because the pharma rep doesn't inform them. The pharma rep that they get their cholesterol meds from does not tell them.
Exactly.
That's where they get their education on that.
It's true. Their continuing education is going to a Pfizer seminar with a free trip to Hawaii.
Exactly.
So.
That's all they need to know. The pharma rep said that it's good and the side effects are few and no problems. And that's all they need to know.
And they have
yeah.
immunity from any lawsuits, so that's okay too.
Exactly.
Yeah. The statins are definitely, I think it's in the top five of the worst pharmaceutical drugs that you can, most dangerous. I know number one is chemotherapy.
Right. I would agree with that.
But I know that the statins are in the top five.
Well, I would think even metformin would be higher than that.
Yeah, that's way up. Yeah, that's way up there too. And it does nothing. It doesn't help diabetics at all.
It just makes their liver toxic.
Yep. Well, was there any more questions?
Well, because you have so many topics, it sounds like I'm going to have to book you again.
I do have a lot of books, yes.
So I want to bother you in a few Wednesdays from now so that Amanda can talk to you again. Because, Dr. Beth, I have a different co-host on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So Amanda is with me on Wednesdays.
Okay. Wednesdays are good for me. Anyway, so I'm usually not available Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay.
So Wednesdays are good.
All right, so Amanda, I'll give you Dr. Beth's information, and when it's time for September and October and whatnot, either I'll get with you or I'll have Amanda contact you.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, do you want to give everybody your website before you go?
Yep, it's recipesforlifewithdrbeth.com. And you'll see information about my nutrition counseling practice, so you can sign up to be a patient there. You'll see all of the books that are still in print, the supplements that I carry, information about the stress book. I'm real big on pH balancing. You'll also see links to, you can watch episodes of our TV show that we did for about 5 years, also called Recipes for Life. I have lots and lots of articles on there. And, of course, recipes. And I also have links to the saliva and blood lab work that I offer through my practice. So that's
okay.
Good stuff.
All right. So, Amanda, did you have any last-minute stuff before Dr. Beth leaves us?
I was going to ask you if you are familiar with Dr. Scylla Whatcott. She is also in Minnesota, and I think you two would have a fabulous friendship if you don't already know each other.
That does not sound familiar. Can you spell the last name?
Whatcott, Whatcott. She is a doctor of homeopathy, and she is just brilliant in so many different ways, and I think you two would just get along fabulously. I don't know where you live in Minnesota, but, you know, if you're at least a little bit close, I would love to arrange some sort of collaboration with the two of you.
Is she in the cities?
Close. I want to say it's like, Chaska, something like that. CH.
Yeah. That's in
Chaska?
The city.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about four hours north of there.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm up in Eastern Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah. She does. Of course, most of her consults are online, and she is my supervising doctor of homeopathy. I'm a homeopath, and she is the doctor. So she supervises everything I do, and she's in Mexico right now. She loves a lot of nutritional alternative therapies, and she's doing some great infusions and having some, you know, C therapy, as in SEA. And so, I think it would be great to have someone who is a nutritionist in her wheelhouse.
Okay.
I'll connect you two through Facebook, if that's okay. All right.
Yes, great.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I sent both of you a welcome message to each other so you can make Facebook friends.
Great. Yep, on Facebook, I'm Beth Leynott. L-E-Y is my maiden name, and Knotts is my married name. So you'll find me on there.
I believe I already sent you a Facebook friend request at the top of the show. So I think we'll be able to connect. I'm excited. Thank you for your information and being so open and willing to share all of your wisdom with us.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, and I'll look forward to coming back.
All right. You're welcome. Have a good night. All right, so Amanda, we'll go ahead and cut to our top of the hour break that we're a few minutes late on.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back, everyone.
Looking for something different? looking for something fun. Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Hey, Amanda, are you here by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Oh, while you were gone last week, I made an IRS ad for the wiretap.
Oh, that ought to be good.
So it's just an audio. You don't have to watch the video.
Okay.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something duckers who will let us get away with it.
Is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because it just looks a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors. This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marti.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marti.com. Great deals, good feels.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Drowned you out there for a second, but I'm glad you liked the ad.
Oh, yes. I heard that little break and thought I had a little longer than I did, but it's good. I thought it was clever. I love your play on words, or should I say I love Broccoli Man's play on words because, you know, it's spot on every time.
Well, that was a commercial for the IRS that Wiretap did, so that one had no Broccoli Man in it.
Right. I should say Broccoli Man characters. The characters in the Broccoli Man series are always spot on exactly what it's a great description of exactly what's going on, and I especially love FEMA camps, which do not exist.
Yeah, he makes sure everybody knows that at all times, because if you think they exist, then they have to take you to a camp to get re-educated.
Right, yes. Yeah, and I've been hearing about FEMA camps for a while, and anybody who might be listening, if you're familiar with Celeste Solem, she worked for FEMA and came on in the holistic health scene more prominently, I should say, in 2020. And she was, the things that she exposed about FEMA shook me to my core. And not surprisingly, everything she said that they had been planning has happened. So I have no doubt that other things are going to also happen, because she was basically an insider at the time. And so it is a little bit, well, like I said, it just shakes you to your core when you hear those things.
Well, the one out here is on a street called El Campo Grande.
Oh, El Campo Grande. Like large camp. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, you can't get more here it is in your face than that.
You're right. Hide it in plain sight.
So I do want to play you the most recent Broccoli Man.
All right. I'll pop on over to my messages.
And then you missed last week, so I got to figure out how I want to fix that.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got this current episode pulled up, so I'm ready when you are.
All right, so this one is called Mail Fraud. And we'll count it down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Stop right there, green dude. We need to audit your person right this instant. I have reason to believe you donated $10 to Donald Trump's presidential campaign.
We need you to donate to Brandon. Instead you dumb diddly did support MAG.
Please. Just go away. In America we can support whatever candidate you like. You are allowed to spend $50 and donate to Brandon, Governor Gruesome, or Michael Robinson Obama if you like. It is none of my business.
Now you look here something that curl. We just hired 7,000 IRS agents. Anyone that did not vote for Brandon, or if they said even one thing bad about Brandon, we will have audits for all pieces of excrement that refuse the style of freedom, sir.
That's not freedom. That's communism.
Shut up, Biasnitch. I have done did told you before. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. Zip it good. Now, we also need to find out why you do not have a bloody scam on that face. You know it is money box season, sir. You do not want money box, sir. It is too risky out here in these main streets without your money box gene therapies and no scam on that face. I also heard you are smuggling some kumquats. I just need to have a look-see at those large delicious kumquats so I can verify you are the legal owner of said kumquats. Unless you in fact lied on your IRS form that you possess said kumquats.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
That is finna be a yes for me, dog. If you cannot show me evidence of you possessing kumquats, I will be forced to put on your IRS audit that you do not have any kumquats. Then you will have pledged yourself on your tax returns, sir.
I do not think that's how it works.
I think that's how it works, green dude. Now if you do not make way with those dungarees so I can get a close up of those kumquats, I will be taking you right now to that FEMA camp. That does not exist. How are we gonna make you rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher, sir?
If you are going to quote Eddie Grant to me, I will quote the great band Incubus to you. Goodbye. Nice to know you. Now, I am here to find a child predator and arrest them. Now you need to leave me alone so I can get back to work.
That tears it, green dude. Our crime syndicate cannot have you out here in these main streets removing people from their families and places of employment. All because you are racist against minor attracted persons. Some states are now creating rights for us so you can no longer do any arresting, sir. It will only be considered illegal provided the person being diddled is over the age of 18. That is how I got money, box green dude. Even though I have been boosted many times from the money box gene therapy.
Okay, so what you are saying is I should arrest you instead.
Sir, I just need to run my hands through your long flowing mane. Then I need to run you through the TSI naked body scanner so I can verify those kumquats, sir. I need a hard copy of your proof of kumquats. A very hard copy, sir. You can do stop and frisk on me and you can know in my own person after if you like, green dude. If you cannot show me verifiable proof of your kumquats, I will arrest you right this instant for mail fraud.
Okay. I will stop what I am doing and arrest you right now.
Do not worry, sir. I will stop what I am doing and arrest you right now, green dude. That is one count of resisting arrest. One count of refusing an IRS audit. One count of being a bias snitch. One count of mail fraud. And one count of not getting a bloody scam on that face under a direct order from me. I don't think you are going to Disneyland today, sir.
People worldwide are protesting against the global tyranny. No one wants a social credit score, a microchip, or be placed in a FEMA camp.
I vehemently disagree, sir. Everyone demands a social credit score, a microchip, and be placed in a FEMA camp. You bloody Americans are too soft to defend yourselves from what we are planning to do to remove you 99% dolts and pieces of excrement from this planet.
We need to stop rolling over and letting Klaus Schwab tell us we will own nothing, and we need to eat ZE bugs so they can own everything and eat all the meat themselves. You need to check out the Proof Negative radio show. Proof is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof educates everyone on the latest New World Order news. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live.
Okay, green dude, you be finna coming with me. You be just too much of a social credit score risk and a something ducker to have you out here on these mean streets. If we do not put you in that FEMA camp that does not exist, then more minor attracted persons could be wrongfully arrested by you. Then after we arrest you, I can get my grubby hands on a walnut map and a hot dog napkin. In your face.
All right, I hope that was okay.
Yes, awesome. Sorry, I had myself muted again. I do that too often. Mute myself so I can hear well, and then I forget I'm on mute.
I wouldn't say that was one of the best ones ever, but it was okay.
Well, you know, you get bonus points for quoting Incubus. Anytime someone quotes one of my favorite songs, you know, extra points. I'm an Incubus fan.
And then there was that Eddie Grant song.
Of course. And I feel like you had at least three. You had Whip It. No, wait. How did you say
yes.
it? It was not
Zip It. Zip It.
Zip It. Yeah. There we go. Got to have some Devo. That's cool. But Incubus, yeah.
Let's see, what did you miss last week? There's this one from last week where Broccoli Man met a Brandon supporter on the subway.
Ooh. All right, I'm pulling it up. There it is. All right, I'm ready.
All right, I am not. There we go. Okay. So, yeah, let's get it done here. So, 3, 2, 1, action.
I am so tired of these gas prices. I want to drive my car again.
I understand. I am taking the train to my car and driving home from the station. These people that are in charge want us to get rid of our cars and give up our meat and our houses.
I know. These Trump supporters are just too much. They have gone all out crazy since Brandon took over. They are just angry that Brandon and Barry Soto have been really great presidents.
And Michael Robinson Obama is such a nice lady. I hope he runs for president.
What is it that Brandon did that you like? He has a 24% approval rating.
He got Trump out of office. That's good enough for me. Those Trump supporters are too extreme with their not wanting drag queen story times or abortions after the baby is born.
You do realize that Brandon just hired 87,000 IRS agents. The IRS is now larger than all government agencies combined.
Yes, but they are going after billionaires and Trump supporters.
I don't have a problem with the government going after my political enemies. I only have a problem when they come after me.
You don't think they will come after you next? Why is that?
I am black and I vote Democrat. Plus I'm a lesbian immigrant. So I am protected from everything politically.
If you moved from another country, what made you move here?
I moved here when I was 19 to flee from communism.
All the policies you are voting for are pushing the United States into communism. They are weaponizing the government agencies and forcing everyone into mass extermination.
I don't want to focus on it right now. Communism is a good thing if America does it. But it is bad if anyone else wants to do it. It is those Trump supporters that never wear scams on them faces that I'm worried about.
But it is the Democrats that want everyone to wear scams on their faces forever. Some Democrat governors even tried to pass laws making faces a private part and to wear scams forever.
I love wearing scams. It makes me know I'm better than those dumb Trump supporters who don't know to wear scams on their faces.
This is the first time I have been out since April 2020 without a scam. We just ran out of scams at home and my last one I wore for 21 straight days. It fell apart on me. If they made a law requiring scams to go outside or be in a store, I would be in favor of it. Brandon told us to do it. I believe him. Brandon and Kamala still wear scams. On the way home we have to stop at Walgreens to buy a new box of scams.
Haven't you seen the inflation at that grocery store? The last year of inflation is the highest in almost 50 years.
Inflation isn't real, you moron. It is just something dumb Trump supporters say to make us not like Brandon.
Correct. There is no inflation right now. Besides, Brandon lowered the price of gas. That was Trump's fault for raising the gas prices on us.
When Trump was in office, gas was $1.84 a gallon here. Now it is $5.32 a gallon. He has no been in office over a year and a half now. The prices of food has spiraled out of control. You said you are taking the bus because you cannot afford gas. That is called inflation.
You need to stop listening to fools like Tucker Carlson, Proof Negative, and Alex Jones. I don't watch news, but I read everything the Los Angeles Times says. They help stand up for minor attracted persons and trans people's rights.
It is not fair how you Trump supporters want to arrest people who want to diddle people just because they are diddling someone under age 18. It is not their fault. Just like you do not want Leah Thomas competing in women's sports.
It has always been considered disgusting for men to diddle children under 18 throughout history. Besides, why is it the children do not get a say-so in this sexual encounter? You are being told to accept it from billionaires who take part in it and have money to promote it.
I bet you eat me so like all you other old fogies. I am saving the planet by eating the bugs.
Only extremists still eat meat. We save the meat products for the 1%. We only eat produce from GMO Martin Dulce's bugs.
Yeah, we are building back better.
You do realize they are building back better. The build back better is building back. Without you and me.
You old dumb Trump supporters forget that we live in America. We live in freedom, as long as you are a Democrat.
Look, I am not interested in talking to you. I am just happy to not have Trump in office. I will always vote Democrat, even if the IRS agents come after you and we become a communist nation. I already lived in a communist government and I would rather live in one again than have a dumb Trump supporter. Please go talk to someone else about your fake news.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we should never try to engage with Democrats. They will never listen to what anyone has to say and will just obey their smell of vision. I do recommend checking out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Proof Negative studies the globalist government and shares a lot of information everyone needs to understand. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live for Proof Negative.
Check out that dumb boomer. He's still us cisgendered and does not know how to use our real pronouns.
So that was something other than the wiretap. I figured I should show you something.
Yeah, I like it. And their voices are extremely annoying, so I think that was very fitting. I wanted that one to shut up. Very annoying voice.
So it was effective then.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a pretty perfect description of what we're dealing with. And yeah, I mean, some people, I think, would prefer to live in communism rather than have any Trump supporter around. And it's pretty appalling, but I think that's actually true.
Yeah, but I think that will change once people see the IRS agents knocking on the doors. I think it's all funny until they see it up close and personal.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, we all know that they would hire 87,000 IRS workers and give them guns and train them in force just so they could go and get, you know, the 1%. Sure.
Well, I'll just go ahead and share like I've been sharing all week here. So they say that they're spending $80 billion. They said they're spending $80 billion in IRS agents so they can collect $20 billion in revenue. That doesn't sound right.
So
just imagine that you're going to spend $1 million to collect $200,000 from somebody that didn't pay you back.
Uh-huh. And didn't we just send a bunch of money to the Ukraine again? I feel like I just read about that today or yesterday about another
lump sum going every week. They find billions to send over to Zelensky in the Ukraine.
Right. But somehow the upside down math with trying to collect a fraction of what they're putting into the IRS agents, but we're supposed to believe that that's going to help push our economy in the right direction. Uh-huh.
Well, just on the surface, that's the exact reason why our economy is the way it is. We're going to spend $5 for every $1 that we get back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep,
that's not a winning strategy.
Right. I agree. Well, you know, I do believe that pushing what the big push is to put out of business the small business owner. That's what happened in 2020. So many businesses were considered non-essential. It was impossible for some of these little places to stay open, considering all the scandemic quote-unquote requirements. And then they start pushing these PPP loans, and then here we are. Now they're talking about loan forgiveness for college loans. I'm so over it. I don't care if it's Trump or if it's Brandon. I'm so over how they keep manipulating the way that we are allowed to spend our hard-earned money.
Well, let's tackle one portion first here. So my thought on the IRS agents.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you believe that they're spending $80 billion to collect $20, that's a joke.
Yeah.
So my thought, and it's going to be used multiple ways, but most importantly, that they will have an army to go after people that don't fully support Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's Trump supporters, whether it's people that voted Libertarian, whether it's people that voted for Brandon, and they said something about him on Spybook, like when they blame him for the high gas prices. You don't even have to be mean about it. You just have to say something that triggers a response, and the IRS can come and look for you. So the IRS is officially weaponized. And there's another thought, too. I don't know if you saw me post a few times this week about the new executive order. Well, it's a few months old, but it's just now making some news. It's Executive Order 14067.
Hmm.
And Executive Order 14067, that Brandon signed a few months ago creates the digital currency and gets rid of cash.
Oh, yes. I think I did read that on yours. That sounds familiar, yes. And that has definitely been a big push because they can control people through the digital platform. Uh-huh.
Yes, so the IRS can now double as the social credit score.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the social credit score is making sure you vote for the right people.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because you won't have a good social credit score if you're not falling in line with their current recommendations. No matter how often they change it, you need to be okay with it and following through and being and voting for that.
Right, and they'll tell you to your face that because you didn't wear a scam and you didn't get your gene therapies that we need to monitor you, even though news coming out now shows how right we were, and we knew all along. Because I think
right.
You wore scams more than I ever did. I never wore a scam.
Oh, I never wore one either. So I think we're definitely tied. I didn't even put anything on my face that even resembled a scam. So, yeah. There's none for me and none for you. And there are several other people I know that were able to go through that entire ridiculousness and never once put any of that crap on their face.
Right. And now the CDC comes out and pretty much says that we were right.
Yep. But we're not going to talk about that in the terms of vindication for those who stayed strong and stood up for our convictions and always knew that we weren't playing the game. Now it's just like, well, yeah, maybe they overreacted a little bit, but, you know, now we're going to push everyone's attention over here to this other ridiculous manufactured crisis.
So that's what I see. So maybe those IRS agents will be taking us to those camps that don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, I won't be going. I won't go. I won't be going. I don't care what they want to try. It won't happen for me.
Yeah, I just know that people that discuss rounding people up and killing them over their
mm-hmm.
belief system, those people have never in the history of the world ever been the good guys, and that will continue. Nobody is ever considered a good guy for rounding up people who don't think like them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and they've been doing that in so many different ways, more subtle ways. And they realize those subtle ways are taking too long. So now they're going to have to ramp up their efforts and use force. Thing is, a lot of Americans won't take that because a lot of Americans are gun owners.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to be what's up?
I said I understand. I was letting you talk.
Oh, yes. I was just thinking, I feel like that's going to be where it comes to standoff for people, that they will not back down, especially for someone, like an organization like the IRS. I don't know one person, except for maybe someone who works for the IRS, who thinks that the IRS is a good institution and an institution that ought to be enforcing anything. I think every American, even those who think they love Brandon, can say the IRS sucks.
And they said they want to target the rich, and the people that they're targeting that they say is the rich are families, primarily the people that will get the most audits, they say, are families that make between $75,000 and $200,000 a year.
Wow.
That's like most Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty...
I'll be the first one to admit my family is in that range.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I can think of my stepson, my sons. Pretty much most of the ones that I love and care about fall into that category.
Yeah, two people making $38,000 a year, which is like $18 an hour,
mm-hmm.
which isn't exactly a lot. You're well off of minimum wage, but it's not a lot. And that's
right.
It. You might be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment, but
yeah.
That qualifies you as the rich.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that that's considered rich now, but there are so many people of a certain generation or so that think that the generation before them owes them a living. They're willing to be okay with things that are not okay.
So going back to my other thought here, it looks like you liked my post I made a little bit ago.
Yes. I was reading through it. Yep.
Nobody said they disagreed. But I wrote,
oh, well,
I dropped out of college. I couldn't afford it. Why should I pay for someone's master's degree at Yale?
And that is a very valid point. Didn't want to go to college because it was too freaking expensive. Why should you pay for somebody else's college degree? Which, of course, 9 times out of 10, they don't even get a job in their degree. So their degree is useless anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going
to
pay for somebody's college debt when they're making 3 times more than I am.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And there was a time, I mean, I had my own college debt. I went to college to get my teaching degree, and you know, I knew that going in. Of course, I was in my 30s when I went back to school, and I applied for the loans knowing that I was going to have to pay a certain percentage to repay them. I knew I was going to have a certain time period to repay them, and I went into that knowing full well what I was getting myself into. So, of course, I wasn't expecting it to be the slate to be wiped clean. That seems pretty, demanding and just narrow-minded.
So here's what it looks like, too, though, where instead of you paying $10,000 and me paying $10,000, hypothetically, that they wipe us and tell us that we don't need to pay that $10,000. So what they'll do instead is they'll say, well, that's $300 million. So what we'll do is we'll just add that to the debt. And so now everybody in the U.S. will pay $8,000 each now. So even though you're not paying $10,000, you're going to pay $8,000. And everybody else will pay. This way the government makes even more money off it.
I see. Oh, I love that. There's always some kind of manipulation of the numbers and the money there.
Yeah, you should know if you think something is expensive now, Amanda, just wait until it's free.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, I do love it when people will say, oh, you know, it's just free money. And I do like, you know, laugh myself to death when I hear that. Yes, because free money is... as if there's anything free at all.
If we paid off our debt and we had a budget surplus, then maybe that money would be free.
Yeah.
But that will never happen with the Federal Reserve. We would never have a debt surplus.
Mm-hmm. I wish, as a libertarian-leaning person myself and someone who really would love to see voluntarism become more respected, I am a person who feels like if that was given an opportunity, we would see things change drastically. People would actually be more willing to act out of, I guess, genuine care and concern and for themselves and for their neighbors. And it would be completely voluntary. And that would be amazing. There's my pipe dream for you.
We don't go from on the brink of communism to voluntarism overnight. You would somebody like a Ron Paul-like person in order to be president first and then change the way people think.
Yeah, that's true.
If we had a voluntarist president win in 2024, people would abuse it so bad because everybody there's an approach in sales called WIFM. It's called what's in it for me. And we are too much into that what's in it for me mode to be thinking about anyone else, unfortunately. So until we get back to Christian roots and living the golden rule and treating people how we want to be treated and getting out of each other's Kool-Aid, then once we learn that, we can have voluntarism. Until then, it's not possible. It's utopia.
Right, yeah. Yep, I agree with you on that. I will definitely hold that vision in my mind, wishing and hoping and praying for such a thing to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the school where I teach, we do talk about the golden rule. You had mentioned that, and it's something that we teach the students there every day. We talk about it, and it is really hard to have that same glimmer of hope that all of humanity will have that attitude toward each other and know that we should not be having this infighting, but recognizing who the true enemy is. And sadly, it's too much propaganda and too much brainwashing and just, I don't know, maybe laziness, for lack of a better term, laziness.
I don't know if it's laziness. That's some of it, but I just think that we've been taught that what you want and what you identify as and what you do is more important than everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what happens when you live in a politically correct world, that you have to live in groupthink.
Mhm. Yep.
So,
I missed that. Maybe it's because we're Generation X. Maybe Gen Xers didn't understand that. We didn't get that memo. We were the latchkey kids, or, you know, we were the ones who had to live independently. We were the ones who walked to school and took care of ourselves every day, and we just had so many adult, quote unquote, responsibilities from our youth that it just didn't occur to us that there would come a time when we just had to go along with the crowd to actually live life. I don't have that in me to go along with something like that. It would have to be a voluntarism situation. And like you said, it is utopia. How would we do that?
Yeah, well, I guess I also have to look at it this way, as far as whose fault is it that our youth is the way it is. Is it our fault? Because these are our children.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it our parents?
Yeah.
I don't know who to put the blame on.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. I mean, I do realize a lot of people will blame the boomer generation because that's basically where the whole, you know, you go to work to a 9-to-5 and then you retire at 65, and that whole time you're just working toward this retirement and you're paying into your Social Security because you're going to live on that. And that was a pipe dream, if nothing else. And I know a lot of people look to that generation, whereas you and I, we came from usually working, both parents working and everybody getting divorced at that same time, and it just, where do you place the blame? Where do you point the finger? That's a great question. And I mean, I'd like to think my sons, my adult children, are very responsible. They've been taking care of themselves since about 17 and 18 years old, and they are both hard workers, and one's still in college, the other one's a graduate and working in his field, surprisingly, and it's pretty incredible to watch. I would like to know what went wrong and where we place the blame, but I really don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I was more asking than giving thoughts, because I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Because
we
were the first internet generation.
Yeah, true.
And
yeah.
I just think that a lot of our morals went out the window because did you ever have America Online back in the day?
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
So that's when
you
we
betcha.
Did all our first internet hookups and it became common where you can't sneak out to a bar to go meet somebody, but you can go on your computer and meet somebody that way.
Mm. Yeah, that's very true. And you can be somewhat anonymous, I guess, in the sense that you can put forth a facade and get away with it on the internet.
Yeah.
Hide behind your internet persona. Yeah, that's very true.
And that might have empowered enough people. I don't know.
Huh. Well, that's an interesting thought for sure. And I remember when the internet first came into the homes as an option, and I was very reluctant to get into that because I did wonder what kind of dangers that would hold. And of course now, I mean, I'm so thankful I have it because it really changed my world. It opened up so many more possibilities and so much education and things I never even knew existed, and that was a blessing. But at the same time, we've got so many other detrimental effects from being constantly connected through the internet to everything. That's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Although, would you consider America Online to have been the first social media?
Oh, I remember the first social media for me, we have like the chat groups that kind of cropped up, but it wasn't
yes.
until MySpace that it really, yeah. And yes, I had a MySpace account, you betcha.
I
was connected. Oh, yeah. And then Facebook came on the scene, and what was it, like 2006? I don't even know now at this point.
I got onto Spybook in, I think, 2010-ish.
Oh, okay. So that might have been...
I always liked MySpace better for some reason.
I did, too. You know, when you bring that up, I actually found that to be a little... Well, it was a lot less drama for whatever reason. And it was easier to stay connected with the people you want to and not have to deal with people that you don't. Like, example, trolls. The haters and the trolls. Ugh, that was definitely a Facebook thing.
Yeah, trolling wasn't that big back then because nobody knew how to organize a troll thing.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So I wonder if that's for the morals, because if you could be anonymous and talk to people however you feel like talking to them, now that could be taken to the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Able to do that. I'm not somebody that can make a screen name just so I could talk ish to people.
Right. And, I mean, do you have time for that? I know I don't. I got things
to
do.
Some people do.
I know. Fascinating to me. Have you ever watched, I'm going to forget his name now, but my son sends me videos from him, and he is so great about bringing out how toxic TikTok is. So, and it's not just TikTokers, but anyone who's using those little video platforms for instant fame, and they get paid a lot of money for doing ridiculous, stupid, asinine, ridiculous things that make no sense. They're like making faces in the camera and being goofy, and they get all these followers, and I don't know what you think of that, because
they fart in line at Walmart and get people's reactions.
Mm-hmm. And see, who comes up with that?
And they can have 3.8 million followers, and one fart video that will take 42 seconds might get them 4.8 million hits, and they might make $400 or $500 for that.
Right. His name is Joey something. Oh, shoot. It's pretty hilarious what he'll put a little montage together of these people who are just have these millions of followers, and all they're doing is short little videos of taking a picture of themselves or making a silly face. And the rest of us who actually have a really solid platform in the education field, looking to really bring people together to better the world and society and just band together for the betterment of the world. And these people are the ones that get all the followers. I don't know. Are they real followers, or are a lot of these just bots? I have to wonder.
No, I wish I could answer. I know for my nonprofit, I bust my butt to make sure that everybody's real. And I get a couple hundred people probably every day that try to join the group, and they're bots, so I don't let them in. I want legitimate numbers. I don't want numbers just to say I have numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, you want legitimate numbers, real numbers. That makes sense to me. That's almost tangible. This other fake bot realm is just, it's so fake. It's just fake. I like authentic. I like to avoid fake. At all costs.
See, I guess I'm not looking for fame necessarily, but when Spybook offered the sponsorship, yeah, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to do what I can to raise awareness and raise funding for a nonprofit that I run. It's not for everybody to say, hey, look at me. I just want to grow a movement, and if they're willing to throw money at me so that I can pursue what I need to do, that's a little bit different. I'm not doing it under my name. And for me, it's not about me. It's about the message.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right. And I think that's one of the things that really drew me to your organization specifically, because it really does make sense to me. It's authentic. It's something that I find very important for just generalized health, but also to always be solid in your independence and freedom, to choose how you want to live your life in a healthy manner. And, you know, I feel like people always talk about now my body, my choice, but they're not willing to open that up to other ideas, other actually healthy ideas. Things that could be great for a person's health and well-being. And
why is it somebody else's business? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Because I will never go to a store and laugh at people for what they're wearing. If they want to wear 5 scams, then wear 5 scams. You're not paying my bills. I'm not going on a date with you. I'm happily married. I don't care what somebody else does with themselves.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to wear nine Crocs and 12 cowboy boots and 15 Nikes at the same time, then have fun. But
yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh, but then you'll be different. Oh, and that will reflect badly on those who like to wear their Nikes and their scams on their faces and their gloves. I remember when people were walking around with two scams and gloves, but they would walk around in shorts and tank tops. And I all the time was like, this does not make any sense. I don't understand where the logic happens. And I just don't know. Is there actual logic for these people? I question that. But I think at this point, I mean, I'm sure it's this way where you live and for me where I live. At this point, I think a lot of people, I don't know if I can say the majority, but at least from my experience and those that I interact with, and of course, as you know, I'm a teacher and the families that I interact with, that many of the people are becoming more and more aware. I won't say awake because that term has now been hijacked. We can't say woke. We can't say awake anymore. But they are becoming more aware and more astute. So when things like, you know, Fauci just stepped down, what a surprise. Why is that happening right now? What is the reasoning behind all of that? And none of it is ever as it seems. There's always some sort of distraction or some kind of scenario, underhanded, secretive scenario going on. And so at this point, it seems to me that a lot of people are recognizing something's not right. And perhaps that will have people looking toward organizations like yours, if Barefoot is Legal, or anything along those lines of sovereignty, freedom, and health, holistic health practices. You know, that's definitely my focus. I would hope that you would draw more of those people that direction.
Well, now that we have a little bit of money coming in, that we can raise the awareness. I think that if there was a big media blitz and we were able to get on mainstream stuff, that more people would understand. And I'm not saying we have to be on CNN or anything. It's just that people have not really... I run into people sometimes and they say, I've seen one of your memes, but it's not like a household name. And until we get to that point, we're just going to be struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand. I mean, you have seen some growth recently. Would you say that is because the memes get the attention and that's what draws people to that
sometimes
platform? Or do you think there's... Okay. Yeah, because it seems to me like those things that are considered fringe, and I say that word loosely, fringe or alternative, can either have a good connotation or a bad connotation. And so I wonder if sometimes that draws people's interest because they want to know what is the actual purpose of being barefoot? What would the platform's message or motto be? So I wonder if it draws people in just out of, you know, curiosity. Out of curiosity, wanting to know what is this about and why.
I'll show you as an example here. So I'm going to send you a meme, and a few times a year I will spend money on a boosted post for this.
Okay.
So this meme
is
my biggest meme I've ever made, and this one is the only one that I've ever had that has had over 50 million in traffic just on SpyBook.
Oh, goodness. And it's a good one, though. That's a really good one.
It's called Driving Barefoot Debunked. This got so I'll tell you the story about how this happened, actually. I made this meme when I was in Minneapolis. We have to have our annual meetups every year for the nonprofit, and ours was in Minneapolis that year because one of our board members lived there, so we went to him.
Uh-huh.
And I did a class with all of the members that were there, the members, the management, because I was starting to gain notoriety as a meme maker for what we do.
Uh-huh.
And I just, before I got there, we had a meme that started getting viral. So I made this meme literally right in front of about 30 people. And then after this meme got done, our board members said, hey, I have a boat that's right down the street. Let's take a 5-minute walk, and we're going to get on my boat, and we'll hang out for a couple hours. So before we left, I posted this meme, and I checked on it. And within 1 hour, we had over 1 million in traffic, believe it or not, with over, I want to say there was like 16 or 18,000 shares within 1 hour. And I told everybody to go ahead, and I was going to harvest traffic. When I got home in a few days, I had several news stations that wanted interviews.
Oh, wow. That escalated
quickly. And this
quickly.
Meme got so popular, Amanda, that news stations actually did stories, and they did TV and radio, and they... this became a big thing for a while. And
wow.
Like I said, it got over, at the time, it got to about 20 million pretty quickly. And then over the last 4 years, I'll get a few million a year off the traffic. And then sometimes I boost the post, and once somebody sees it, they will say, oh, I was always wondering if that was illegal. And
yeah.
The thing is that back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even the 90s, people thought it was illegal, but there was no place to go research it. Are you going to go to the library and read the Book of Laws?
Right,
everybody
exactly.
Just assumed it was, but thanks to the internet, all you have to do now is do a 45-second search on your favorite search engine, and you'll see there's no laws. Yeah, open that link up that I gave you, Amanda.
Okay. I was just looking at the new, aha, another leak.
Just in case
that.
You thought I was joking, which I know you don't think I am, but I wanted to show you that legitimately there were news articles.
That. That's pretty great. Oh, my goodness. That is great.
And obviously the meme is in their article.
That's awesome.
If you think that's funny, wait until you're on national TV and they're talking about your meme.
That is,
and
yeah,
how right you
surreal.
Are.
What's
yes.
that? And what?
And they're telling you that you're correct.
Nice, a vindication right on social, I mean, right on mainstream media.
Yeah. Yeah, like they'll get the head of the Department of Motor Vehicles on there just to talk about how how this meme is correct.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I'm going to share that. Let's see, 2018. Okay, I'm going to – that's pretty great. Yes, because I do get asked that. I've had people get uppity about it, really, because I've had – when I've shared things before, they'll say, oh, well, you can't because that's illegal. And then when I say absolutely not, you can't find a law – there's no codified law, then they'll say, well, it's still dangerous. this one actually addresses that it's not any more dangerous than anything, and it's actually absolutely legal. That's hilarious to me. I'm going to put that right here on my Facebook page. Hope they all read it.
Now I'm going to find the one real quick here that has our meme in it. I have to look on YouTube because I don't remember it. I know roughly which one it is. I just have to find it. But that doesn't mean I can't talk.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were looking for it. I was getting ready for that to come my way. So I shared it on my Facebook page. We'll see if it gets any traction. We know how Facebook is, at least for me. Okay.
Here's one. I don't know where the rest of them are real quick, but I can show you this one.
Okay.
And I don't mind if you watch it. It's like a minute.
Okay. Well, I've got it here. Maybe I'll put it in my comments there since I posted the actual article. I will put that in the comments.
Yeah. Like I said, watch it now. It's just a minute. It's okay. I don't mind.
Yeah.
It's not like we have to play the audio or anything, but you'll see our meme right in the middle of a newscast.
Nice. Okay, so I have it muted, and I have it on closed caption so I can read it. Nothing more annoying than hearing a computer in the background when you're on a call. Oh, look, they got the Texas Driver Handbook out.
did you see the picture of our meme there?
Yeah, you betcha. Right up. Here it is again. Huh. Yep, there's your little check mark. Yep, it's true. It is not illegal to drive barefoot. What a surprise. And they verified it. Oh, man. Well, there you go. That's all people need to know. I know I asked you a question recently about this as well, because I was told recently that a school could have OSHA come in and either shut them down or fire them if everyone in the school were not wearing shoes during hours. And I mentioned that to you the other day because I certainly know that in a regular school setting that OSHA is not going to shut anyone down for not wearing shoes. There's no chance of, like, I'm not in any situation where I need a steel-toed boot. I'm not, you know, what's the worst I'm going to do? Step on a pencil? So it was pretty interesting.
And that's absolutely correct.
Yes.
And it's funny because you can have a dance class where a dance class will say you're not allowed to not have shoes on, but if you're in a gymnastics class, then that's different. So somehow if you're tumbling, then it's okay, but if you're standing up straight and not tumbling, then it's an issue? I don't think so.
Yeah. How come it's okay in some situations? I know I teach yoga. I mean, I am telling them, you are not going to get the most out of this unless you take your shoes off. You need, and your socks, by the way. Shoes and socks off, barefoot. It's the safest way to practice yoga. Socks make you slip. Shoes will actually hurt your knees if you wear shoes during a yoga practice. You will damage your joints. And that's a proven fact. I did not make that up. That's a proven fact. There's a lot of science to back that up, studies, and just in general, structurally, shoes are hard on a person's structure in general, but you don't hear about that. Hmm.
No, I'm under the impression that I'm the first person that's ever told the average American that it's okay to not have their foot coffins. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. That, yeah, so if that's the first that they've heard of it, great. Then here we are. As long as the information's available for them to understand. And, you know, I've walked barefoot lots of different places over the years. If I know I'm in a situation that I'm going to burn my feet or I don't know what kind of terrain I'm going to be in, I will probably have my shoes on. I don't super love walking on hot asphalt or sharp rocks. My feet are not to the point where I can handle sharp rocks, but, you know, that's my choice, right? I should be allowed to take care of my body the way I see fit. And I'll tell you, yesterday in my yoga class, I teach yoga at the college here nearby, and what I was able to share with them is that there is actual scientific reason. There's an actual scientific reason to have bare feet for general wellness. I always ask them, are you familiar with earthing or grounding? It has been proven, as you know, to be beneficial for, it helps a person's blood pressure. Let's see, what else? Their blood pressure, of course, their mental state, and
yeah,
something
depression.
Else. Oh, depression, yes. There's something that's measurable besides your blood pressure and your heart rate. Is it your breathing? Oh, shoot. There's some other biological marker that's measurable, and it changes as soon as you take your foot coffin off. Your foot coffins, whatever the correct terminology would be for that. Yeah. Yes. So there is science to back that up.
Hey, speaking of which, I want to confirm for that meetup. So I just need to make sure what time and if we're good and who else is coming, and I can start promoting.
Oh, yeah. So I guess I was
just RSVP like now.
Yeah, yes. I was just kind of waiting until I talk to you about it. So thank you for reminding me, because I know your birthday's coming up. And all I have to do is contact them at the restaurant, and I can start gathering up whoever I can. So what is a good weekend for you that works closest to
around your
birthday?
Well, I was hoping for Saturday the 17th.
Saturday the 17th. Awesome. And as far as I know, that is a good one. Let me make sure. Let me pull up my calendar really quickly. 17th. I'm going to put that on there, and I'll reach out to my few friends that are interested. I know for sure. I told you about my friend Laura. She knows you through all the circles. So let's put meet up in my calendar at turmeric favorite. And we'll put it, do you want more like in the early, say like around 11, or what's a good time for you since how you have to drive here?
Well, I was thinking that we would leave like early in the morning on Saturday, unless we come
okay.
Friday night, but then I only want to stay one night, and I'm thinking if we were to stay overnight, it would be a Saturday.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, so let's plan.
So
I know
we
they
would
open
probably
at 11.
Leave early, and we have a brand new puppy now too, so we just have to make sure that we're covered on that.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I was thinking they open at 11, so probably the earlier the better, and more possibility that people can walk if they want to without burning their feet outside. So I think we'd be
well,
okay
I was
with
thinking
that.
Though that. And I don't know how busy they get for lunch, but generally 2 o'clock would be good for an off time, which for meetings and things like that, I don't want to interrupt their lunch rush.
Okay. Yes. I know that they have a lunch period. Then they have a time where they're shut down to get ready for dinner. So I'll have to check their, I'll call Sunny and find out.
Yeah.
What
see what they
suggests.
Want. If they want us to come early, but if they have, if we have 30 people there, for example, and I don't know how many are coming, But I don't want to take up every single table if they have other people coming in.
Right. Yeah, I would be very surprised if we got 30, but I will definitely open it up to everyone in the group. And I know that they can accommodate at least 15 comfortably in a back table. So I will find out and ask him what his suggestion is, and then I'll get back to you. I put it on my calendar to remind me to get in touch with him.
So, okay.
Yeah, that would be great. And I think a lot of the people that are in my specific group here in the St. George area they're very great at networking, and we're all sort of this great tight-knit community, and we just love to support each other. It's really so lovely, and I love these people so much. I know that they would do their best to be there and show up. So,
all right, and then
education.
If we have enough people, then I can even do like a little speaking engagement thing. I like doing that.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I would love to do that. Have a little
so
education
any
from you.
Communities in St. George we can hit. I'm all about that. And we do have a caller I want to get to. I haven't talked to this person in a while here.
Sure, let's bring him on.
Hello to my favorite person in Tampa.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Terrell.
How you doing?
Even better now that you're here.
What's been going on? I've been listening.
I keep seeing that your city is like the fastest growing city in America now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, as long as they leave their voting records in their cities they're coming from, I wouldn't mind.
Okay. Well, you know I'm not into that. Oh. I don't know, but I don't appreciate all these people moving here. I really don't. But they're gonna find out. Florida is. Florida, maybe because it doesn't have a state tax, but...
No, it's because everybody doesn't want to be locked down in California and New York, and they look at your governor like he's fighting for the people.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. I was praying for you all out there in Las Vegas with the flooding and going on. I see it's just going from
state
to state.
Well, my house was fine. It basically was just on the strip and all the way on the other side of town. But where I'm at, the streets might flood a little bit, but it wasn't – my street didn't even get flooded.
Oh, that's good. Okay. How are the girls?
My youngest one – see, I have a 17-year-old nephew that lives here now, so he hung out with my youngest daughter. They drove around and did stuff.
Okay.
My older one works a lot. It's okay.
That's good. That's all right. Okay. How's your parents? They're out there with you, right?
Yeah, my parents live here. My mom is going to be 70 years old this month, or this weekend.
All right, go girl. How's your wife? I have to ask about everybody because I keep you all in prayer. I have to ask.
No, she's good. How's that theme park we like? Is that doing okay?
That who?
That theme park
theme
in Tampa
park?
That we like.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they're more expensive. No, we live here, but we don't deal with Busch Gardens. We did when we were younger, you know. I went to the Arabs already, you know. I had to go to other places like Wikiwachi, you know, other places that are just as nice. I'm tired of Busch Gardens. I'm less than a mile from Busch Gardens right now.
So I know that you're not really much of a people person as I claim to be. But
mm-hmm.
do you drive?
Well, you are.
Do you go to Orlando at all, like once a year or anything like that?
Say that again.
Do you go to Orlando like once a year or once every couple of years? Not for theme parks. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like in general, are there things in Orlando that you might go to?
Uh-uh. No. I've gotten to where I don't want to leave the house at all. I've gained weight. No. I will not leave the house. That's a shame. That is a shame. But I never did.
Joanne,
I was always a home person.
Joanne,
but I'm not Orlando.
Sometimes on Tuesdays or Thursdays, if you ever want to talk to Joanne.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Tuesdays or Thursdays. Tomorrow I'll call in again.
My Thursday co-host lives in Daytona Beach.
Okay.
So we had a conversation last week, which is why I was glad you called in, because hypothetically speaking, if Las Vegas got too hot politically and if I ever had to go to Florida, I would not want to move to Tampa, but I feel like between Orlando and Tampa, there are still some cities that might be worth looking at, like Plant City or Lakeland, if you know anything about them.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's rural. I used to go there a lot. My husband and I partied out there a lot. So, yeah, it's nice, country area. It's a lot of country out there. And in Plant City, Dade. I have in-laws that's in Apollo Beach, but I don't know about out there. They seem to like it.
Yeah, because I feel like Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Palm Harbor, all that is built up, and I don't want to feel like I'm moving into a new Chicago or anything.
But you know anything can happen at any time.
I mean like people just on top of each other. That's what I mean.
Yes, because here in Tampa, the Habitat for Humanity just built a house in a lot next to me that I know good and see well. There was not supposed to be a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house over there. They have no backyard. You understand me? They took part of our driveway. It's supposed to be 50 feet across. I believe they stole some of our property, for real.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there, I mean, every spot that's empty, they're putting a house. So, yeah, you don't want to be in Tampa.
And that makes all the rents go up.
I guess so. Mine didn't go up. I've been here 12 years now, and I'm still paying the same.
Well, I'm just saying when there's no available apartments or houses, the next time becomes available, it just shoots up 10 or 20%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to price gouge you. When it's a neighborhood like mine with nobody, everybody stays to themselves. We speak to each other, but that's it. There's no in and out of each other's homes. There's really no calling each other. I have Jamaican neighbors across from me. It's next door, the one that's got the Habitat for Humanity house there, Puerto Rican. We have some Africans down the street. But everybody stays to themselves. I guess we learned with experience from people, you just leave people alone. When you've had bad neighbors before or have an experience with bad neighbors, you just leave your people alone. You don't even try. Now, I still deliver my collard greens to people.
So I was discussing that if I was to move to Florida, I have a spot. I have a landing spot in Jacksonville with no problem whatsoever. But if I wanted to go on my own with my wife, of course, I would look at things like Plant City or Lakeland, if I wanted to be a little more inland, I would even look at Ocala.
Yeah. That's Ocala's not bad. I've been there. I've been several times to the hotel. So, yeah. But I would like a country.
There's still places you can move to in Florida that is not like people on top of people and price gouging. I still think rents are going to go up, but I think that you could still get some property.
Yeah. I would prefer the country, though. That is what you're looking for, right?
Yes and no. Tampa doesn't appeal to me because I just think of hurricanes. And if I'm going to another city, I don't mind being close to a major city, but I don't know if I want to be right in a major city because it's just so expensive.
That's true. That's true. I haven't heard of anybody saying
for my day job now, Terrell, I do customer service at home. So.
Oh, really?
It doesn't matter to me, really. So if I get a house and say it's a four-bedroom, two-bath house, I can get 1,400 square feet in Tampa, or I can get 2,000 square feet in Ocala with two or three times the size of the yard, and the Ocala house is going to be $50,000 to $80,000 cheaper. I'd be a fool to not want to go to Ocala.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Now, because you would want some yard, you want to plant your food and going on. You know, you want to have that space.
And it's close enough that if I want to go out to a restaurant in Orlando, then we just get in the car and drive there. It's no big deal.
Hey, Orlando is quite expensive, I've heard. So I don't know about Orlando. Ever since I heard that, and that's years ago, I heard it was expensive to live there. So it's getting expensive.
Amanda is my Wednesday co-host, and she lives near me in St. George, Utah. And we've met before, and we're going to meet again next month.
Well, hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
That's good. Oh, I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm chilling.
Terrell has been a friend of Freedomizer for at least 10 years.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's amazing. So you're original generation, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Enjoyed it. Yes.
Very nice.
I really have. I really enjoyed it, yeah. Proved you know I lost one of my jobs, child. Because they wanted me to come to the meeting and they wanted me to have a damn shot, and Terrell was not getting it. Not the first shot. Terrell's not doing that. I'm not doing it. They go straight
well
to hell, and I just told them that, too.
Awesome. You told them.
By the time they
said
that, I was not too nice about it, either. You knew I wasn't going to do that. You knew I wasn't going to do that. I was, child, no, I'm kidding. I'm gonna, look, keep your job. Like I said, I was not too nice about it.
And that's in Florida, too. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't care.
Like if you left that job, you can't just walk right next door to that job and say, can I have a job, please?
Yeah. I didn't let it bother
me. You wouldn't believe how hard it was for me to find a new day job, though, Terrell. Because I'll give you some examples of the stuff that I had to go through. I had three different jobs that for an interview on Zoom in my own house, they wanted me to put a scam on my face.
Oh, okay. Hey, no, sir. In your own house. No,
in
man.
In my own house.
No. What happened to
I
you?
I had one job, the first question they asked me was, proof, well, what are your pronouns? And I go, I don't play that. You can just call me. You don't want to give us your pronouns, huh? Well, then we don't need you.
A lie you tell. No, man, did it? Look here now. See? Wow, you should have had me right behind you. Tell them about the head. Yes. Give them something to remember.
But that's job hunting now in 2022.
Pronouns. Your pronoun is Mr. That's what it is, Mr. It will address you as Mr. That's your pronoun. What the hell? Okay. Wow, pronoun. That's a new one on the interview, huh? But then nowadays, you know, we got Satan's bodyguards everywhere.
Oh, well, let me tell you about this job, too, Terrell. This one was even funnier. So I'm in the interview, and the like second or third question the person asked me is, how much are you looking to make an hour? And I said, well, on the job board it says this starts at $16 an hour.
And she said, oh, you're willing to just come here for $16 an hour. That means that you're not going to work that hard. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is just on your when I applied for the job, they said how much this was. Oh, you're gonna disrespect me, huh? This interview's over.
No. Wow. Okay, make me not want to go out there and look for a second window. I think I'll leave that alone and keep on. I have no. So you hiring who? Because I'm not going for that shit.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what am I supposed to say? I don't know how much you're starting people out at when it's right here in front of me.
Well, they're insulting you anyway with $16 an hour with your experience that you have.
No, I understand. I just was, whether it was a full-time or a part-time job, I was just trying to do something to supplement Freedomizer Radio. And
yeah.
I just applied. That's all. That's their loss. It's not my loss. I made
sure
out
is.
Okay.
Yeah, it sure is. Their loss. Mm-mm. Customer service. Now, you know I couldn't do that. No. Nope. No, I asked a few people. I said, "How do you think I would make it as a Walmart greeter?" They said, no," because they know I'm not going for the pants hanging behind, that low you up behind. So you would be stopped at the door. No, go, hey, you don't have a belt? Then go get one. Go borrow one from your daddy. Go borrow one from somebody, baby. But you can't come here in your pajamas, and you can't come here looking any kind of way. I'm sorry, no, but I see Walmart. Wow. I don't go there anyway. No, man, no. The videos I've seen on YouTube, Walmart, just one guy, Fluffy Talks, he has many videos of you're bad at Walmart and the stuff they do in Walmart. Hell no.
Oh, I don't partake in that kind of stuff because I've had people take pictures of me and try to post me up on Twitter. So I don't
really?
Get involved.
No.
Yeah.
Did they ask your permission?
No, they don't ask the people at Walmart's permissions, and then they'll say, look at this profanity, and I'm not going to say the profanities, but look at this expletive going into the store without shoes on, and they'll write that, and then they'll have all kinds of other mess that some bots will get into. So yeah, as a rule, I don't hate on other people because it's just not my thing.
I just, what I don't like, I don't be around. But to try to put you on Twitter and take it, no, I think that's wrong. Dead ass wrong. That's wrong. You don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, because if you mess with them about something that they have on or don't have on or whatever, then they would have a problem with it.
Well, they mocked us for... They mocked us for 2 years for not putting a scam on our face. They mocked us for not putting a gene therapy in our body and willing to risk our lives. And that's the thing I can't believe is that how many people that worked at a Wendy's or a GMO King Subway and they took the gene therapies for a job at McGMO, like there's no other job they can get.
My doctor that I had, my last doctor, I reminded her, remember, because she told me it was coming up soon about asking her about taking it, you know, so she said she was thinking about it. I told her, remember that the pharmaceutical companies are insured for 4 years. Just remember that. She was gone the next time I went to the doctor, she had been replaced, but she wasn't going to take it either. I don't know where she is. You know, I pray for her to get her more employment at a better place. But this was the federal government she was working for. I figure, hell, you working for Satan, he's going to definitely want you to take that shot. Like I told you, my husband went. Satan called and told him to come get the shot. Hell, he went and got a job, please. No.
Oh, you
guys are in the military. Yeah, just because you're in the military and you're a vet and they call you and tell you to come take a shot, does that mean you have to go and get one? What the hell? Pissed me right off. But I've been watching.
And what about the money pox? Is he going to get the money pox shots?
No, he's not going for that. He only took the. Did he take one or two? He went for that second one too. Yeah, you go ahead on, brother. Bury your ass. You'll just be done for. But I warned you. So and my daughter, of course, she being in the Navy, she had to go and get her shot. But I told you that, and I mess with my grandchild. Don't mess with her. I said, I just have to take her from you. Just that simple. I told my granddaughter to refuse any shot. She's had all of her shots for schooling going on, so there's no extra. There's no HPV. There's none of that. No more shots at all. I'm serious about that. I'm very serious about that. No.
So, Terrell, I wish I would have grabbed your call sooner because I just got the 90-second buzzer. And show's going to shut down. I'd appreciate that. Yeah, and you can meet Candace, who lives in Daytona Beach.
Okay, and Joanne. All right. Okay, well, good night, you all.
I don't know if Joanne's calling in tomorrow or not. I know she does sometimes, that's all.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, if she comes on, I'll get to talk to her.
All right, I'll shoot Joanne a message, though, that said that you said hello.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to say good night. Good night.
I love you, Terrell.
Nice to meet you.
Good night.
All right. So, Amanda, that's it here. So, we did it again.
All right. Another successful Wednesday night.
Yes. So, thank you. And everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until tomorrow... Hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Proof.